Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We've been talking over this last week about making some clear decisions that, at least starting out with one area where I need to follow the Lord more closely, because as we do that, it opens us to the grace, to the inspiration of God, and He can show us so much more that He has in store for us. But there is a need to examine your conscience. There is a need to do an overview of your life, because I want you to grow in faith. I want faith to be living in you. And if we take some simple steps, not easy, but simple steps, God will be able, because we'll get some obstacles out of the way, and God will be able to inspire us and to lead us even more. He'll be able to nourish us, not only on His Word, but on the Eucharist. He'll be able to do so much for us when we open our hearts. And so just take a look. You might say, well, there's 10 sins in my life. Well, just take one. Just take one. Because if you try to tackle all 10 at once, it just leads to frustration and to discouragement. So one area where you say, this needs to change. If I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, if I am baptized, if I belong to God, if I feed on His body and blood, or I would want to, then what is it in me that is one of the obstacles? And ask God to show you. Couldn't start with anyone, because we've got lots of them, don't we? But take one that you think is kind of more pivotal and just say to the Lord, Lord, I bring this before you. I want to change in this area. I don't know how. Will you teach me? And then make sure you take time with the Word of God every day. Make time, if you possibly can, to go to Mass as frequently as you can. Make the time. You know, we make time for the things that are urgent. And some of the food and our drink are two of the most urgent needs of our own human bodies. How much more are they spiritually? So what do I need to feed on today? The food of the Eucharist, the food of His Word. How do I do that? How do I make time for that? And then what is one area that bothers me that I know it's wrong in my life? I know I need to change. I don't know how, Lord. It frustrates me. It embarrasses me. It humiliates me. It angers me, all that kind of thing. I don't know how to deal with this. Will you teach me? Every day, bring that to the Lord. Every time you go to Mass, every time you read the Scripture, ask the Lord, teach me, show me. And in His great mercy, He will. When He begins to, you let me know. I want to hear your story. First reading for today is from the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 11 to 19. The children of Israel offended the Lord by serving the Baals, that is, the false gods. We serve the Baals all the time, don't we? False gods. Money, sex, power. We serve them. We compromise ourselves in lots of ways. We don't want to do that anymore. Abandoning the Lord, the God of their fathers, who led them out of the land of Egypt. This is a 40-year journey, and He led them. They followed the other gods of the various nations around them, and by their worship of these gods, provoked the Lord. I like that God better. I think I like this God better. We do that even today. Because they had thus abandoned Him and served Baal and the Ashtaroth, the anger of the Lord flared up against Israel, and He delivered them over to plunderers who despoiled them. He allowed them to fall into the power of their enemies round about, whom they were no longer able to withstand. Whatever they undertook, the Lord turned into disaster for them, as in His warning He had sworn He would do, till they were in great distress. Even when the Lord raised up judges to deliver them from the power of their despoilers, they did not listen to their judges, but abandoned themselves to the worship of other gods. Now, don't just say about these people thousands of years ago, didn't they know better? Look at what God has given you. These people did not know the Messiah. They did not know they had a Savior. They knew nothing of that. So there's a kind of excuse for them, but there isn't for us. except for our own blindness and our own deafness. Face yourself. Face the Lord. You'll know nothing from him but mercy. If you come to him and say, Lord, I know I failed you in these ways. Will you help me to change? And say it every day. Open your heart. He'll inspire, he'll lead. But these poor Israelites here, it says, even when the Lord raised up judges to deliver them from the power of their despoilers, they did not listen to their judges, but abandoned themselves to the worship of other gods. They were quick to stray from the way their fathers had taken and did not follow their example of obedience to the commandments of the Lord. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, he would be with the judge and save them from the power of their enemies as long as the judge lived. It was thus the Lord took pity on their distressful cries of affliction under their oppressors. But when the judge died, then they'd relapse, and they'd do worse than their ancestors, following other gods in service and worship, relinquishing none of their evil practices or stubborn conduct. Human condition is pretty much the same, whether it was in the time before Christ or today. We say yes to God, and then we reject him. Something comes along, it entices us, we get fascinated by it, and we stray. Ask God to give you the grace to be faithful to God, to be faithful to his word, in thought, in word, and action. Faithful. Not just external show, but in thought, in word, and in action, that I may be faithful to you, Lord. Just take one area where you're not being faithful. Start with one area. Don't try to take on any more than that at a time. Take on one area. Keep bringing it to him. Ask him for help, and he will give it. Psalm 106 says, remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Remember us, O Lord. That's what we want of God. Just remember us, Lord. Help to bring us back when we cry out for you. We'd like you to just rescue us and take care of everything, but you want to draw us back to yourself. You want to bring us to repentance for our sin, that we can be strong, that we can be true sons and daughters of God, that we can be genuine disciples of the Lord. God doesn't want you to just make a little token step in the right direction. He wants your whole life, brothers and sisters. He wants your life. Yours. Will you give it to him? And then ask him for help step by step. Many times did he rescue them, says Psalm 106. Many times did he rescue them, but they embittered him with their counsels. Yet he had regard for their affliction when he heard their cry. So, even if you've promised God all kinds of things, you say, oh yeah, I did that, I tried that, but it didn't work, or I forgot about it, or whatever. That doesn't mean God's going to reject you. You come back to him now. It says very clearly here in Psalm 106, he had regard for their affliction when he heard their cry. Every time you come back to God, God will listen to you, and he will hear you, and he will act on your behalf. The big gateway is repentance. And as the Lord shows you your sin, just repent. Don't feel condemned. Don't feel, oh, this is hopeless. Don't anything. Lord, thank you for showing me that. Help me to get free of it. Show me what to do, and I will follow you. That's just the attitude, the simple attitude. I remember when I was teaching, I started out teaching grade school. As 7th and 8th graders. And they begin to think, you know, when they get to 7th and 8th grade, that they know a lot more than they actually do. And I was trying to get it into the head of somebody for weeks. Just ask me for help and I will give it to you. But he couldn't. I mean, he could, but his pride would get into the way. And I remember the day he walked up to me and he just looked at me. This is 7th grade now, 12, 13. Somewhere in there. And he just looked at me and he said, would you teach me? And it made all the difference in the world. For him, for me. And I've never forgotten that, because that's how I want to relate to God. Will you teach me? Teach me. I don't know how to change this. I don't know what to do about it. Will you teach me? It's an attitude of humility, and God will answer it. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" So here's an example of somebody coming right up to the Lord, and he's a young man. And he answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good." In other words, if you want good things, what you really want is the God who is good. You want to come to the source. "If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." And this young man says, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack? What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And when the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Brothers and sisters, we can have a mental checklist where I'm doing this right, I'm doing this right, I'm doing this right, I'm doing this right. In other words, it becomes a series of tasks rather than a relationship with the living God who is your Father and your Savior. You don't come to him just with a list of, "I'm doing this right, and I'm doing this right, and I'm doing this right," and probably those three rights would cancel out this wrong, right? We bargain with God. What we need to do is say, "Lord, I want to follow you. I want to draw near to you. Teach me. Show me." And that means every day I go before the Lord and say, "What would you have me do today? Where do you want me to focus?" Or you bring him a dilemma from the previous day. "Lord, how do I handle this? What do I do?" Just simply be with the Lord, because he does not want to be an answer machine. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to accompany you. He wants to impart to you himself, his own blood he wants to give you. In other words, he desires intimacy with you. It's not just checking off the Ten Commandments. It's not just doing everything right. It's being willing to follow him. And when Jesus said that to him, the young man went away sad, for he had many possessions. In other words, "Well, yeah, Lord, I want to follow you, but don't ask me to do this, or don't take this from me, because I want to keep this job, and I want to have these possessions, and I want these things, but having... just make sure all these things stay intact, and then you can ask me what I can do for you." We're so arrogant, and we're so proud. And it says here, the young man went away sad, for he had many possessions. It was a way he couldn't just let go. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, that applies to our pet sins. "I just can't let go of this. Not yet. Maybe someday, but not yet." No, say to the Lord, "Ask me what you want, and I will do it." God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.